The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Right now, we're going to go to Congressman Tom McClintock joining us. He is in Washington, D.C. Going to get the latest from him on some of the goings-on, looking back at this week. Congressman McClintock, good to talk with you again.
Well, same here, Larry. Thanks for having me.
On the positive side, NAFTA has been replaced. USMCA has been signed. On the challenging side, we've had this ongoing impeachment trial in the Senate. Where do you start? What can you comment on?
Well, I mean, the tragedy of the USMCA is it was held up by a year by the Democrats in the House. That cost us an awful lot of jobs, an awful lot of income that could have otherwise been generated during that year. But I guess better late than never. It's now signed, and it is expected to have a very positive impact on the economy, as is the trade agreement with China. And, of course, we also had the agreement on the Middle East peace, or at least the proposal for one from the administration. So the administration has been very, very busy while the Democrats have been consumed with impeachment. Of course, that's now ongoing in the Senate.
Yeah, you're a member of the House. House members had last year the opportunity to vote on the articles of impeachment, and the House, being a majority controlled by Democrats, did so. What was that like, living through that experience, sitting in Congress when that went down?
It was sickening, because if you know the history of impeachment, you know this is exactly what the founders feared, that this consequential of all of the powers of Congress, maybe next to declaring war, would be used for partisan purposes. They were very, very clear and careful to define the grounds for impeachment very narrowly. Treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. That means crimes that are connected to the office itself. And yet the articles of impeachment charge no crimes. They charge something called abuse of power. That concept was specifically rejected by the Constitutional Convention. Someone actually proposed it, George Mason, under the term maladministration. It was James Madison, the father of the Constitution, who stood up at the convention and said, well, that could mean anything. And if that's going to be the standard for impeachment, the president is not a separate and equal branch of government. He's simply a servant of the Congress, and every president is going to be constantly looking over his shoulder, because at any time the Congress could accuse him of that. They wanted it specifically for crimes connected to the office itself. And yet the Democrats have charged abuse of power, which again was specifically rejected by the convention, and also obstruction of Congress, which means he sought to assert the same constitutional rights of the office that have been asserted by every president since George Washington. The concept of executive privilege, the fact that conversations with the president are confidential, goes back to a subpoena that the House of Representatives issued against George Washington to get papers involved with the Jay Treaty. And Washington wrote back and said, absolutely not. The Constitution separates these branches. You have no more right to intrude into conversations in the executive branch, and the executive has a right to intrude into conversations in the legislature.
Well,
so those are the two things that the Democrats have charged.
And simply, Congress...
And neither of them is an impeachable offense.
Congress wouldn't take the time to wait to have the judicial branch, the third pillar, test the administration's declaration on being able to hold back those things. And they did so claiming, well, it would be too late, and, you know, he would have won. And
That's the constant refrain that you hear from the Democrats in candid moments. There have been a number of public statements to this effect is, well, they have to impeach him because he'll win re-election. Well, you talk about a massive intrusion into our elections process. There it is.
There are some who say this is a much deeper thing, that there is an entrenched Washington, a so-called deep state or swamp. Some people on both sides may be into that, that is entrenched at the money trough. If you look at the highest grossing counties in revenue, they all circle around Washington, D.C. There's a lot of money to be handed out there, and they don't like an outsider coming in. From before this president became president, they were out to get him. Is there some truth to that?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. And also you now have the new left that's seizing control of the Democratic Party that refuses to recognize the legitimacy of an election they disagree with. And that's particularly fatal to democracies. In every election, somebody wins and somebody loses. The only way democracy works is whoever loses an election at least is willing to respect the will of the voters. That's only failed us twice in our history. It's failed us when the Democrats refused to accept the legitimate election of Abraham Lincoln in 1860, and now in 2016 when they refused to accept the legitimate election of Donald Trump. So I think that is driving part of it, just a disrespect for democracy itself. But the other thing that's driving it is, yes, you do have an entrenched and increasingly independent of a bureaucracy within our government that is completely impervious to elections. And that also is a direct threat to democratic institutions.
Congressman.
Remember this, the second article of our Constitution, which is the presidency, begins with the words, "The executive powers shall be vested in a president of the United States." There's nothing in that about vesting any executive power in ambassadors or lieutenant colonels of the National Security Council or anonymous whistleblowers. All of the executive powers of the government are vested in one person, the President of the United States.
Right.
And any executive power that is exercised by our government flows from our Constitution to the President, to his appointees.
So the president then has the right.
A completely independent bureaucracy that is unwilling to recognize this constitutional principle.
They don't believe that the president has the right to determine what our relationship will be with Ukraine and how we will move forward and whether we decide to hold back something to see if there will be investigations or other nations will join in the funding or whatever. That rests in the president to do that, doesn't it?
Right, and don't forget that same Article 2 of our Constitution vests in the president the authority to conduct our affairs with foreign nations, and it vests with the president the responsibility to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Now, among those laws is the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which makes it a crime for an official to offer anything of value to a foreign government as a condition of doing business. That is exactly what Joe Biden admitted to doing. And the National Defense Authorization Act, which provided Ukrainian assistance in the first place, which commands the president, before he can release those funds, to determine that the Ukrainian government is taking steps to combat corruption, exactly the kind of corruption that they were investigating involving Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Mm. When Joe Biden used $1 billion of federal loan guarantees to force the firing of the general prosecutor who was looking into this. So, I mean, and that's why the whole Biden issue is so central to the question.
Right.
The president had every right and every responsibility under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, as well as the National Defense Authorization Act, to ask the cooperation of a foreign government in determining if there was corrupt activities between its officials and ours.
Yeah, just as the Democrats have the right, if they want to throw some sort of impeachment up in an election year, thus the president has the right to investigate any American who may be involved in wrongdoing, whether their name appears on a ballot or not. Because if that's
by the way, here's another little irony and about all of this. Last year, 2018, there were three Democratic senators who wrote to the Ukrainian president demanding that he investigate Donald Trump.
Or else.
Now, the only difference is that the president actually has legal authority to make such a request. The senators did not.
And yet they did.
And those senators include Dick Durbin of Leahy and one other, I forget now. I think it's Menendez, I forget. Those three, I think, are going to be certainly voting to impeach him on these spurious grounds.
Yeah. Well, as we record this, a lot is not known about witnesses or not witnesses. They will have voted on that issue by the time this airs. Your thought? Would you rather open it all up and hear things or have this thing wrap up? Do you have a feeling one way or the other?
Well, I do. I mean, first of all, the Senate has a simple responsibility to determine whether impeachable offenses have been brought to them by the House. These are not impeachable offenses. As I said, they are made-up crimes, the first count absolutely antithetical to what the founders intended. The second one basically saying you assert any constitutional right that ipso facto is obstruction of justice, or in this case, obstruction of Congress, and prosecutable. That's a chilling principle in itself. So I think the Senate would be well advised to say, look, these are not impeachable offenses. If you've got a high crime or misdemeanor and you have admissible evidence that the president committed it, well, come on back. But until you can do that, you're wasting our time.
Yeah. What about that come on back part?
If they were to make a decision that these are impeachable offenses, of course, they would have turned the Constitution on its head. But at that point, then, in my judgment, it ought to be all holds barred. Every witness that either side wants to call should be called. Now, it may be that the Bidens assert their constitutional Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. It may be the president asserts his constitutional right on executive privilege. But certainly all of the witnesses desired by both sides ought to be called. But if we get to that stage, it means that the whole concept of impeachment has been fundamentally changed from what the founders envisioned into simply a weapon by one party to nullify an election won by the other party.
With that, we're out of time. Wish we could talk longer. Congressman Tom McClintock, it is always a pleasure to have you on. You're a Northern California representative. What is your district number?
Number four, I've got basically the Sierra Nevada of California, probably the most beautiful part of the country.
All right. Thank you much. Really appreciate your time and your wisdom on the subject. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.